a quartet of men left Rome. It was about the year 62 A.D., and these men were bound for the province of Asia, which was located in what is currently designated as Asia Minor. One of these men was going into Macedonia. Now, these men had on their persons four of the most sublime compositions of the Christian faith. These precious documents would be invaluable if they were in existence today. Rome did not comprehend the significance of the writings of an unknown prisoner. If they had, then they would have apprehended these men and the documents would have been seized. And when these men bade farewell to the Apostle Paul, each was given an epistle to bear to his particular constituency. Now, these four letters are designated in the Word of God as the prison epistles of Paul. He wrote them while he was imprisoned in Rome, awaiting a hearing before Nero, who was the Caesar at that particular time. Paul, as a Roman citizen, had appealed his case to him and was waiting to be heard. Now, this quartet of men and their respective places of abode can be identified. Epaphroditus was from Philippi, and he had the epistle to the Philippians. Tychicus was from Ephesus, and he had the epistle to the Ephesians. Now, the scriptures for that you find in Philippians 4:18 for Epaphroditus, for Tychicus, and Ephesians 6:21. I'll not turn to the scriptures because as we take up these epistles, I'll make reference to it. Now, Epaphras was from Colossae, and that's in Colossians 4:12, and he had the epistle to the Colossians. And then there was a man by the name of Onesimus. He was a runaway slave from Colossae, Philippians verse 10. And he had the epistle to Philemon, and Philemon was his master, who was a believer in Christ. Now, these epistles present a composite picture of Christ, the church, the Christian life, and the interrelationship and functioning of all. These different facets present the Christian life on the highest plane, by the way. Now, Ephesians, the one that we're going to take up, presents the church, which is his body. This is the invisible church, of which Christ is the head. And Colossians presents Christ, the head of the body, the church. You see, in Ephesians, the emphasis is upon the body. In Colossians, the emphasis is upon the head. And in Philippians, that presents Christian living with Christ as the dynamic. I can do all things in Christ which strengtheneth me, Paul says in Philippians 4:13. Now, Philemon presents Christian living in action in a pagan society. Paul could write to Philemon, who was the master of this man Onesimus, and say, if thou count me therefore a prisoner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Now, in other words, friends, the gospel walked in shoe leather in the first century, and by the way, it worked. And that is the thing that we're going to see in this epistle of Ephesians, as well as these others, when we come to them. Dr. Arthur Pearson called Ephesians Paul's third heaven epistle. Another's called it the Alps of the New Testament. It's the Mount Whitney of the High Sierras of all Scripture. It is the church epistle. And we now have arrived at what many expositors consider the highest peak of scriptural truth, the very apex and the very acme of Bible revelation is in Ephesians. Now, that may well be true. Some even suggest that Ephesians is so profound that none but the very elect In other words, the chosen few are the only ones that can understand it. And I've always noticed that the folk who say that, they always include themselves in that inner circle. I want to be very candid with you. I do not even pretend to be able to probe and to plumb the depths of this epistle, nor to ascend to its heights. This epistle is lofty and it's heady. It's difficult to breathe the rarefied air of this epistle. And you're going to find that out when we get in it, too. I'm going to do the very best I can with the aid of the Holy Spirit as our guide to understand it. And I do want to make this statement here at the very beginning, and we'll see it now in just a moment. The two books of the Bible that men have always said you can't understand them are Ephesians and Revelation. Liberalism likes to say Revelation is just a conglomerate of symbols that no one can figure them out, and that Ephesians is so high that it's too high for us. Well, let me say this, that the two books of the Bible that can be arranged mathematically and logically are Ephesians and Revelation. There are no two books as logical as they are. Now, I have attempted to write a book known as Briefing the Bible. We mentioned that on the program, but that's one of the first books I wrote because I wanted to know what the Bible was about. I got tired of hearing folks say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover, and they didn't even know what was in the covers at all. They just had the pious statement, their creed was, I believe it. Well, if you believe it's God's Word, my friend, you're going to try to find out what it says and get off of this gimmick line that many are on today and always talking about methods and how we can increase the number in Sunday school and how we can communicate with the younger generation and how we can, you know, better organize the church. Well, that's all fine. It has its place. But let me tell you this. The important thing is to know what's in the book.